RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Berita Inggris jam 5. Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia and Thailand committed to increasing trade. Indonesia to sub-produced IFX jet fighters in 2020. Now the news in detail. Indonesia and Thailand have agreed to increase bulk trade at a meeting between foreign ministers of the two countries in Jakarta on Tuesday. Compared to 2014, trade between the two nations fell to $12 billion in 2015. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said at the bilateral meeting with her Thai counterpart Don Pramudwianai at the Indonesian Foreign Minister in Jakarta. Meanwhile, Minister Don Pramudwianai expressed the hope that the two countries will be able to increase trade value up to $20 billion in the future. He warmly welcomed Indonesian proposal to increase economic cooperation with Thailand. At the meeting, both sides also agreed to enhance economic cooperation, especially in the tourism sector. In addition, the governments of the two countries also agreed to encourage investment between the two ASEAN member states. President Director of State Aircraft Company PT Dirgantara Indonesia Budi Santoso said in Bandung, West Java on Tuesday that PT Dirgantara Indonesia will start producing jet fighters Indonesia Fighter X Veryman IFX in 2020. He said the aircraft will be produced to meet the Indonesian military need for two squadrons of jet fighters and will be sold abroad as well. But he added that the second phase of the cooperation contrast between Indonesian Defense Ministry and the South Korean Defense Acquisition Program Administration DAPA and between PT Dirgantara Indonesia and Korean Aerospace Industry KAI was signed last January on the basis of starting the production of planes prototype. The prototype of Korean fighter experiment, Indonesian fighter experiment, will be produced in South Korea and Indonesia start this year and until 2019. According to Budi, the prototype of the jet fighters will be produced in South Korea and the rest will be assembled in Indonesia. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that this year, the city administration spent 3 trillion rupiah for goods and services through the government's Goods and Service Procurement Agency, LKPP. The amount is higher than other provinces. Speaking at LKPP office in Jakarta on Tuesday, Governor Basuki said that this year goods and service expenditure through LKPP will keep being increased. Some of the goods and services are proposed by Jakarta Regional Working Unit, SKPD. He added, with the purchase through e-catalog in LKPP is easier and faster without loan actions. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Director of Industrial Relations Dispute Settlement at the Indonesian Manpower Ministry, Sahat Sinura, said that the government will prepare training and people business credit core program for workers who are being laid off, saying that they will be encouraged to do entrepreneurship. Sahat said that the aid is designed so the laid off workers can establish micro, small and medium businesses. Sahat explained that in the meantime, the government is also making efforts to prevent larger layoffs and team of Manpower Ministry has checked companies that plan to improve efficiency. He also pointed out that Sepron takes measures before conducting efficiency by slashing the number of workers, such as reducing the number of foreign workers and not extending the contract of the separate workers. However, Sepron's moves were not optimal, so they offered their workers a voluntary resignation program. Indonesian Honduras Ministry will begin to issue child identity card KIA this year, initially rolling out the measure in 50 cities across Indonesia. An official of Honduras Ministry, Sudan Arif Fakrullah, said on Tuesday that the reason for introducing KIA was to increase the democratic database and improve public services to help meet the constitutional rights of all citizens. The KIA will be the official form of identification for unmarried Indonesians below the age of 18. There will be two categories, one for children up to 5 years of age and the other for older children. A pilot project for the state-funded KIA was implemented in Malanis, Java, Balikpapan in East Kalimantan, Bantu Regency in Yogyakarta, Makassar in South Sulawesi, and Depok in West Java. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BNKG will observe the total solar eclipse in March 9, 2016. BNKG Chief Andi Eka Sakia said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the observations made to gain information of magnet and gravity interference caused by the eclipse. Andi said that BNKG will observe the eclipse in Ternate Palu, Tanjung Pandan and Bengkulu. The gravity observation will take place in Palu while the magnet observation will take place in Palu, Manado, Kupang, Jayapura, Tangerang, Tuntungan, Mount Sitoli and Liwa. Moreover, according to Andi, BNKG will provide a streaming video showing the event for those who cannot see it directly in sport. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi has discussed three main issues with Thai Foreign Minister Don Pramuwinai during a welcome meeting at Gedung Pancasila in Jakarta on Tuesday. The first issue discussed by the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister and Thailand was about economic cooperation between the two countries that have dropped in 2015, which fell only reached $12 billion. That was stated by spokesperson of Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, at the press conference at the Foreign Affairs Ministry office in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon.
Ada tiga hal yang utama yang dibahas. Pertama terkait dengan
there were three main issues discussed by the two foreign ministers. The first related to the economic cooperation was how to improve the economic cooperation continuously. Because we have to remember that Thailand is not only neighbor but also the main trading partner of Indonesia in ASEAN. The third largest trading partner, Thailand is number 11 investor of ASEAN. So it's important. And we see a worrying trend as our trading increased last year.
Furthermore, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir explained that the second issue discussed by the Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Don Pramuwinai was a transnational organized crime such as drug trafficking, terrorism and irregular migrant. While the third issue discussed by the Indonesian and Thai Foreign Affairs Ministers, according to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, was about the acceleration of the maritime border renegotiation process between the two countries. Meanwhile, on different occasions, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi thanked to the Thai government of repatriation of 14 orangutans from Indonesia which had been smuggled into the White Elephant country in last November 2015. Besides, Minister Retno Marsudi also conveyed the official invitation to the governor of Thailand to attend the extraordinary summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation which will take place in March 2016 at Jakarta Convention Center. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi will accompany President Joko Widodo, who is expected to attend the ASEAN-US Leaders Summit to take place in Sunnyland City, California, from 15 to 16 February 2016. Director for Dialogue Partners and Interregional Cooperation of Directorate General of ASEAN Cooperation of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Dery Aman, at a press conference at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that the team of Indonesian government will be partnership for peace and prosperity. According to Dery Aman, the team will be discussed by the Indonesian government because it is expected to provide benefits to the region.
Tema yang akan diusung oleh Indonesia tentunya partnership for peace and prosperity.
Indonesia will bring the team partnership for peace and prosperity that we all or the international community. As we know, the world consider Indonesia as ASEAN leader, so of course we have to stay in front and to be able to influence the discussion that will benefit for our region, including for Indonesia.
Dery Aman also said President Joko Widodo and other leaders of ASEAN countries will discuss emerging issues in the fields of politics, cross-border security of ASEAN countries and strengthening the digital economic cooperation. Besides, 10 leaders of ASEAN countries and the United States will also discuss about the counterterrorism, and President Joko Widodo was appointed directly by President of the United States, Barack Obama, to lead the discussion on terrorism. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled "An Earthquake Rocked Taiwan." In February 6, an earthquake measuring 6.4 on Richter scale rocked Taiwan. As a result, many buildings collapsed and hundreds of people trapped inside. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the quake occurred at the depth of 10 kilometers with its epicenter 39 kilometers northeast of the city of Kaohsiung, the second largest city in Taiwan. Despite strong enough, the quake that was reported by Asia-Pacific Tsunami Warning Center have no tsunami potential. Earthquake potential hits Taiwan because the land is located in two plates, Lemmy Eurasian and Pacific tectonic plates. Local media Focus Taiwan News Channel reported on Tuesday that the number of death toll from the quake was 55 people. 53 of them were killed in an apartment in Tainan. Meanwhile, two other people were killed elsewhere. Indonesian Foreign Minister expressed no Indonesian citizens become casualties. According to the Indonesian Economic and Trade Office in Taipei, Thailand, there are 16,000 Indonesian citizens. The majority of them work in the manufacturing sector and care the elderly. In a brief message quoted by media in Jakarta, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said, after sweeping and coordinating with the authorities and the Indonesian Economic and Trade Office in Taipei, 10 Indonesian citizens were reported to suffer minor injuries and they have returned home. The earthquake in Taiwan leaves not only sadness but also allegation of acts against the rules of construction. Taiwan police have arrested the contractor of the construction of the 16-story building that collapsed in Tainan. A local police officer told AFP that three people were responsible for the construction of the apartment and they had been brought to the prosecutor's office. Tainan County attorneys start carrying out an investigation into the collapsed apartment after several photos showing cans and plastic raw materials in the concrete wall structure. The construction of a Kwan Wei apartment complex that collapsed during the earthquake was completed in November 1994. However, according to the head of planning and development of the Minister of Interior of Taiwan, Hu Sung Long, two companies that built the apartment have stopped operating, while the company that designed the architecture of the building is still operating. Local prosecutor has found that the installation and the size of the steel pin structure didn't meet the standards. Of course, such case isn't so common in Taiwan. As an earthquake front area, the standard construction of buildings in this country must be built to withstand the earthquake over 6.4 on Richter scale, as it did last week. What's happening in Taiwan is a lesson for all parties or countries to follow the rules in the construction of multi-story buildings. In particular, Indonesia is often said to be located in the Ring of Fire, an earthquake with magnitude more than 6 on Richter scales, often threatens some cities in Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from February 12, 1912. The last monarchy in China, namely Qing Dynasty, fell down. Starting from the frustration of the elite and the people of China because of the refusal the Qing Dynasty to conduct reformation, and the weakness of the kingdom to the political maneuvers of foreign countries led to a revolution against the royal government. Under the inspiration and ideas of Dr. Sun Yat-sen, The revolution stimulated on a desire to eradicate the royal system and implement the republican system in China. Finally, on February 12, 1912, the last emperor of the Qing dynasty, Emperor Xuantong or Puyi, abdicated following the Xinhai Revolution. On March 12, 1912, the Republic of China was established by Sun Yat-sen as its first president. We now have a look to another event on February 12, 1946, the end of the Deadlight Operation. Of the 156 U-boats that surrendered to the Allies at the end of the war, 116 were scuttled as part of Operation Deadlight. The operation was carried out by the Royal Navy, and it was planned to tow the submarines to three areas about 100 miles northwest of Ireland and sink them. When Operation Deadlight was activated, it was found that many of the U-boats were in an extremely poor condition as a result of being moored in exposed harbors while awaiting disposal. Combined with poor weather, this meant that 56 of the boats sank before reaching the designated scuttling areas, and those which did were generally sunk by gunfire rather than explosive charges. The first sinking took place on 17 November 1945 and the last on 11 February 1946. We end with an international event on February 2002, the trial of Slobodan Milosevic in the UN War Crimes Tribunal in Den Haag. Slobodan Milosevic was the president of Serbia and Yugoslavia. He served as Serbian president in 1989 to 1997 and later served as president of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia in 1997 to 2000. After the Balkan conflict was over, Slobodan Milosevic, on the decision of the International Court of Human Rights in The Hague, was sought and arrested on charges of committing war crimes. Slobodan Milosevic was on trial for war crimes and crimes against humanity he committed in Kosovo, such as ethnic cleansing or genocide in the Balkan conflict. On March 11, 2006, he died of suicide in his prison cell in The Hague, the Netherlands, at the age of 64 years. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. In today's edition, we take you to talk about Indonesian government decides seven strategic issues of a roadmap. Listener, Indonesian government decides seven strategic issues on the electronic roadmap of commerce or e-commerce, namely logistics, financing, consumer protection, communication infrastructure, tax, education, and cyber security. The strategic issues are lessened to become 30 initiatives of policy that will be arranged by the ministry and agency based on the priority of industrial necessity. This was stated by Indonesian Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara after attending coordinating meeting of e-commerce roadmap in Jakarta on Wednesday. The meeting was led by Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, by involving related ministries and agencies. Minister Rudiantara said, "The funding becomes the main government's attention. Therefore, it has been agreed that the formation of public service agency can distribute grant and government subsidy, optimization of business credit scheme, and venture capital investment." Previously, Financial Services Authority, or JK, has issued four regulations related to capital investment through venture companies. Therefore, businessmen of venture capital are supported to fund creative industry sector, including digital business. Minister Rudiantara also said, The government will continue to evaluate whether the four regulations are able to give value toward e-commerce business funding in Indonesia. About the funding, Head of Creative Economy Agency Triawan Munaf said, the government has agreed to set public funding, which is usually used to fund pilot-scale e-commerce. There are three types of funding, namely share, investment, debt, and grant. Communication and Informatics Minister Rudiantara Fudar said, in the near future, the government will decide revision of Presidential Decree No. 39-2014 on closed business list and opened business list, completed with any regulations in the investment field. According to the minister, the funding of e-commerce can also be implemented through the outcome of revision. Meanwhile, consumer protection also becomes the spotlight. The trust of consumers can be developed through regulation, protection for industry players, simplification of e-commerce business license, and the development of National Payment Gateway or NPG. NPG is a synergy of payment system with ATM, mobile banking, and internet banking. Chairman of Indonesia's e-commerce association, Daniel Tumiwa, welcomes the roadmap of e-commerce, which appropriate with the expectation of the association. However, he said there are several things that still need improvement related to the employment and investment incentives. That was today's focus.
Listener, here's the headlines of several national newspapers published today, February 12, 2016. We begin with Kompas newspaper, which wrote Corruption Eradication Commission supports Attorney General. Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK appreciated the Attorney General, which considered dismissing of the cases involving the two former chairmen of the commission, Abraham Samad and Bambang Wijoyanto. The issue of dismissing appeared during the House of Representatives plenary meeting when the leader read aloud the letter from the Attorney General office sent to the chairman of the House. The letter dated February 4th was also sent to the National Police Chief and Supreme Court head. Regarding the letter, House's Commission 3 Chairman Bambang Susatyo said the dismissal is under the authority of the Attorney General office. The same was conveyed by Supreme Court spokesman Suhadi. While the spokesman of the National Police, Brigadier General Agus Rianto, said the police is ready to discuss the dismissal with the AGO. On the other hand, KPK Chairman Agus Raharjo expected the AGO to realize the dismissal, so that the current KPK leadership can implement the corruption prevention and prosecution program faster without being held by the past issues. We continue with Tempo. National Air Force investigates Super Tucano crash. The evacuation of the Super Tucano aircraft, which crashed into civilian residents in Blimbing, Malang City, East Java on February 10th, had been finished. The National Air Force then continued investigating the accident cause of the Brazil-made aircraft. Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Agus Supriyatna said the Air Force collected the plane remnants to be examined. Meanwhile, the Abdul Rahman Saleh Air Base Commander, Air Commodore Joko Senoputro, said some crucial instruments to reveal the crash, such as flight recorder and emergency locator transmitter or ELT, have been evacuated. Abdul Rahman Saleh Air Base Operational Department head, Colonel Farlianto, who led the wreckage evacuation, explained the flight recorder functions similarly to the black box on commercial aircraft, containing flight record. National Army spokesperson Major General Tatang Sulaiman said, Brazil, as the Super Tucano producer, is still yet to be involved in the investigation. Also, the time limit to investigate the crash is yet to be known. Meanwhile, Sindo wrote, Workers' Social Security Agency ready becoming world-class body. The Workers' Social Security Agency or BPJS Ketenagakerjaan was ready to improve in becoming one of the best social security agency in the world. The transformation program will keep being developed, one of which is by providing total benefit for the workers. The agency's president director, Alvin J. Masaya, said the agency will focus on innovation to improve the service. The Total Benefit Program is a strategy to increase the workers' living standard by providing access to housing and other basic needs. The Workers' Social Security Agency received the Transformation Excellence Award from the ASEAN Social Security Association or ASA. According to Alvin, the award was given because the agency successfully transformed social security service in all aspects, including institutional status and management, vision and mission, work culture and ethic, program benefit and service for participants, business and infrastructure process modernization, organizational paradigm and strategy shift, distribution channel expansion, data integration and collaboration with other public institutions. Listener, we end today's headline with Media Indonesia. More chances for foreign investors. The government of Indonesia released the 10th economic policy package with the negative investment list or DNI as the main focus, aim to end economic concentration that until now was enjoyed by certain business group only. Economy Coordinating Minister Darmi Nasution added the policy tried to develop the national geopolitical and geo-economic potential by encouraging small-medium enterprises and cooperatives, as well as the national enterprises by increasing creativity, innovation, and new technology absorption in the era of openness. Meanwhile, Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said with the DNI open for various business fields, the role of private companies is more prominent in moving the national economy. He also expected with the DNI revision, various foreign direct investment or FDI to Indonesia will increase. On the other hand, INA, economic observer of Pajajaran University in Bandung, as well as the head of Institute for Development of Economic and Finance or INDEF, Didik J. Rahbini, shared same opinion that the government is not fully ready towards the opening of several sectors for foreign investment. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesia and Thailand have agreed to increase bilateral trade at the meeting between foreign ministers of the two countries in Jakarta on Tuesday. President Director of State Aircraft Company PT Dirgantara Indonesia Budi Santosa said in Bandung, West Java on Tuesday that PT Dirgantara Indonesia will start producing jet fighters Indonesian Fighter Experiment IFX in 2020. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said that this year the city administration spent 3 trillion rupiah for goods and services through the government's Goods and Services Procurement Agency LKPP. Director of Industrial Relations Dispute Settlement at the Indonesian Manpower Ministry, Sahat Sinura, said that the government will prefer training and people business career program for workers who were being laid off, saying that they will be encouraged to do entrepreneurship. Indonesian Home Affairs Ministry will begin to issue child identity card KIA this year, initially rolling out the measure in 50 cities across Indonesia. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BNKG will observe the total solar eclipse in March 9, 2016. BNKG Chief Andi Eka Sakia said in Jakarta on Tuesday that observations made to gain information on magnet and gravity interference caused by the eclipse. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi has discussed three main issues with Thai Foreign Minister Don Pramudiyanai during a bilateral meeting at Gedung Pancasila in Jakarta on Tuesday. The first issue discussed by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry and Thailand was about economic cooperation between the two countries. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi will accompany President Joko Widodo, who is expected to attend the ASEAN-US Leaders Summit to take place in sunny Land City, California, from 15 to 16 February 2016. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I'm Harnita introduce you to Ngelawar tradition of God's Island of Bali. Stay tuned. Listener, last February 10th, the Balinese celebrated Galungan Holiday. The Galungan Holiday is celebrated by Balinese people every 210 days as a day of Dharma's victory or the triumph against Adharma or evil. There are a series of events in the holiday, one of them called Panampahan Day. Panampahan Day fell on one day before Galungan, precisely on last February 9th. On the day, the Balinese people will be busy with making penjor. Penjor is a tall bamboo pole that decorated with coconut, the crops, and the yellow-white fabrics. Making penjor is an expression of gratitude to the Almighty God for all the grace. The word penampahan is taken from the word nampah, or slaughtering animals to be used for food. Usually, slaughter animal is done by mutual cooperation in each banjar or village. The joint slaughtering, which is called mepatung, will be much cheaper than buying meat in the traditional market. Moreover, residents have long ago to raise money to buy animals for slaughter together. Later, the animal meat will be cooked in a variety of cuisines. One of the dishes that must be presented in the Galungan holiday called lawar. Lawar cuisine is a mixture of vegetables and minced meat. Lawar can use a variety of meat, such as pork, turtle, wild duck, and chicken. Then the meat cooked in a variety of tubers and vegetables, such as young coconut, beans, shredded coconut, and young papaya. The main ingredient of lawar will affect to cook the lawar. Listeners, cooking lawar before Galungan is known as ngelawar tradition. Usually one day before Galungan, mothers have been preparing ingredients for cooking lawar, while fathers are preparing themselves for the slaughter of animals. Animal slaughtering is usually done in the morning, so that when the sun rises, the meat can be distributed to the residents. The lawar food served as offerings in Galungan holiday. Besides as offerings, lawar is also enjoyed by the community together and distributed to neighbors and relatives. The tradition of distributing food when Galungan is also known as Ngejot tradition. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Ngelawar tradition. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we present you the benefit of jamu for health. Jamu is a traditional medicine from Indonesia. Recently, it is popularly called as herbal medicine. Jamu is made of natural ingredients in the form of parts of trees like roots, leaves, stem skin, and fruit. Jamu usually tastes bitter, so that honey is added to make it sweet. There is even jamu which is added with grape essence. Besides reducing bitter taste, grape essence serves to warm up the body. Asi, jamu seller, explain what jamu she sells. Dubbing insert 1 Asi. I sell kunyit asem, kunyit tawar, temulawak, sambiloto, and beras kencur. traditional jamu is made of natural ingredients such as from plants mixed in jamu powder or a drink. It is good for body's health and warmth. According to ASI, every kind of jamu has particular benefit for body's health. Dabbing insert 2 ASI. Kunyit asam or turmeric and tamarind smoothens blood flow. For women in period, it can remove smelly scent. While sirih or betel is antibiotic, it can cure sariawan or mouth sore, especially for those who smoke. Temulawak is good for liver and appetite. The selling of kinds and number of jamu varies a lot for every seller. It depends on habit they learn from customers, which jamu that is sold the most. For jamu using sweetener, jamu makers will use Javanese sugar, granulated sugar or rock sugar, which is sugar in the form of big crystal-like chunk of stone. Jamu which uses artificial sweetener violates the rule and strays from the purpose of the making of jamu, namely to keep body's health. This jamu is not sold easily in Indonesia. Ministry of Health through research and development of medicinal plant and traditional medicine agency under Medical Research and Development Agency always does research on every benefit of medicinal plant used in the making of jamu. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on jamu for health. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian dangdut female singer named Zaskia Gotik. To begin our program, here is a song by Zaskia Gotik entitled Bang Jono. Happy listening.
Pulang, Ikaw yung aking buka, baik-baik sayang. Abang pasti cepat pulang. Kau cincikan aku sebongkah berlian, sesuap nasi pun jarang. Dulu kau cincikan
listener, Zaskia Gotik, the beautiful dangdut singer born in Bekasi, West Java, April 27, 1990, whose real name is Syurkiani, started being considered in the Indonesian dangdut music industry through her first hit, Satu Jam Saja, or One Hour Only. The song hypnotized dangdut koplo lovers in Indonesia. Well, listener, now let's move on to another song by Zaskia Gotik entitled Satu Jam Saja. Enjoy!
Oh, 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 oh
listener, since she was a child, Saskia has been interested in singing. She could realize her dream professionally at the 7th grade. She joined various competitions until she performed regularly from one cafe to another. It made Saskia have to choose between studying and singing. Saskia then chooses singing. In 2011, Saskia Gotik got an opportunity to make a debut single, Satu Jam Saja. Not long after that, she released the second single, Ajari Aku Tuhan or Teach Me God. Alright, listener, to end our program, let's listen to two songs by Saskia Gotik called Cintaku Karena Allah, or My Love is Because of God, and Ajari Aku Tuhan or Teach Me God. Enjoy the songs, and I'll see you again in the next Dangdut edition of Music Corner.
Semuanya hanya milik Allah. Seperti juga isi hatiku telah kuserahkan untuk dirimu. Cinta dan rinduku kepadamu semua karena Allah. Aku sungguh cinta kepadamu, rinduku juga hanya untukmu. Semua ini bukan kebetulan, tapi karena Allah. Cintai aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Karena seluruh hidup mati kita akan kembali kepada Allah. Juga hanya untukmu. Semua ini bukan kebetulan, tapi karena Allah. Cintai aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Karena seluruh hidup mati kita akan kembali kepada Allah. Aku sungguh cinta kepadamu, rinduku juga hanya untukmu. Semua ini bukan kebetulan, tapi karena Allah. Cintai aku karena Allah, miliki aku karena Allah. Karena seluruh hidup mati kita akan kembali.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.